Then Daniel went to his house and explained the situation to his friends, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, so they would ask the God of heaven for help about this mystery, in hopes that Daniel and his friends wouldn't die with the rest of the Babylonians' sages. Then, in a vision by night, the mystery was revealed to Daniel. Daniel praised the God of heaven. God's name be praised from age to eternal age. Wisdom and might are his. God is the one who changes times and eras, who dethrones one king only to establish another, who grants wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those with insight. God is the one who uncovers what lies deeply hidden. He knows what hides in darkness. Light lives with him. I acknowledge and praise you, my fathers, God. You've given me wisdom and might, and now you've made known to me what we ask of you. You've made known to us the king's demand.
So today we conclude our summer series, God in the Heat of the Moment. And I've shared some of my summer God moments with you, and I've invited you to reflect on yours as well. I hope you've been able to do that. Now, a few Sundays ago, I introduced you to Hank and Babacar, two fellows who came into my life in unexpected times and in unexpected ways. Hank, I met on the beach, older fellow that goes there every day to comb the beach for treasures. And Babacar, we met at 4 o'clock in the morning at the Louisville airport, who drove us to Lexington. Today, I'd like to introduce you to someone who is much more involved in my day-to-day life. Meet Roniel. Roniel is one of my and Brenda's dearest friends. Bren met Roniel as they were both hired by Wellington Elementary when the school opened 6 years ago. And like every year, teachers were busy during the summer preparing their rooms, and since it was a new school, even more unpaid time was required to get the classroom ready for students. Perhaps our governor might not be aware of this unpaid time as he threatens to change teacher pensions, but I digress. But back to Roniel. On one of the first days after she met Brenda, Roniel comes into Brenda's room and they begin getting to know one another. Roniel began to share stories of her family with Bren. Her husband, Gerard, and her two kids, Kiara and Eric, who, by the way, Bren and I consider as a bonus niece and nephew. Roniel then looked at Brenda and asked her, "So, tell me about your family." As many of us in the LGBT community know and have experienced, this question from an almost stranger brings some immediate anxiety and indecision. Do I tell the truth? Do I avoid the question and quickly change the subject? Bren said, "Well, I'm getting married soon." "That's good." "And my soon-to-be wife and I have two dogs and a large extended family. My wife is an accountant and a pastor, so we have a really busy life." Now, that brief exchange seeded a lasting friendship that introduced Roniel to the first lesbian couple she would be closely connected to, and introduced Brenda and I to a more intimate friendship with an entire African-American family. Coincidence? This summer, Roniel and Brenda's other teaching partners vacationed with us, and Roniel decided to join Brenda and I every day on our long morning walks. And I've also shared with you this summer the bridge. The bridge was the most challenging part of our daily walk. Now, most days, Ronya walked beside Bryn as I walked in front of them and listened to them talk school. But one morning, Ronya walked beside me. And after a bit, we began to talk about the deeper things of life. Ronya Powell is a woman of deep, deep faith. She's always been interested in and supported my ministry and specifically our church. So on our walk this particular morning, she was asking me how church was going. And I was sharing with her some things about the joys and challenges of ministry. And on this particular day, even though I was technically on vacation, I have to admit the challenges of ministry were outnumbering the joys. And I said, "Roniel, I miss Miss Hattie." I told Roniel that Miss Hattie was a spiritual rock of sorts to me. Because she was honest in her critique, yet loving in her delivery. As I have also shared with you, church, Miss Hattie called me at least once a week to tell me she was praying for me. And then she'd normally follow with some critique or questions. But she always ended with, "Pastor, I love you, and I'm praying for you." So I shared that with Ronyell, and I shared with her how my and Miss Hattie's theology was pretty different from one another when we first met, and how we'd both opened up with one another over the years. And then I said to Ronya again, oh, how I miss Miss Hattie. And church, I swear to you, the second those words left my mouth, the second, I looked over to the very small beach as we were beginning that bridge hill, and I saw this. Well, I just had to stop and watch this sacred moment. Bryn, Ronyell, and I leaned over the bridge railing, and it was wonderful to witness this ocean baptism by a small African-American church family. Coincidence? I had tears in my eyes as we resumed our walk. I said to Ronyell, "Now that was a God moment. In fact, that's how I got the idea for this service, this series." I continued, "Ronyell, Miss Hattie would have loved that baptism. And I don't think it's coincidence that the day you and I walk side by side is the same day I share with you about Miss Hattie and the day we see a black baptism in the ocean." I said to Ronyell, "I can almost hear Miss Hattie as she tilts that head back and raises her arms to say, 'Hallelujah.'" Ronyell then began sharing with me as we climbed the bridge hill. She told me how tough it was when she and Gerard were first starting out in their marriage, welcoming their first baby, Ronyell in school, her husband working as best he could. And on one particular day, Ronyell said, "We didn't have much food in the house, Marsh. We were on our last meals. And I was expecting a student loan check, and I went to check the mail, and it wasn't there. I came back to our small apartment and I just fell on my knees and started praying. God, please let that check come. You know we're struggling and we're doing our best, but God, we need that money. Please let that check come." Later that same day, Ronyell checked the mail again and the check was there. Now, as we were going up that bridge hill, Ronyell, who is not an emotional woman, had tears rolling down her cheeks. And by this time, so were my and Bryn's cheeks filled with water. And Ronyell said to me, "Now, Marsh, I know some folk don't believe that that check came from God. But all I know is that I was at my wit's end, and I fell out praying, and God answered my prayers." Coincidence? In our scripture lesson this morning, strange as it may have sounded, Daniel's perplexed at one of these unexplained moments. You see, King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon has this dream that keeps him awake at night, but he can't find the meaning in the dream. The king needs someone to interpret it, so he calls the magicians and the enchanters and the sorcerers to come to him and tell him what the dream meant. But they were not able to do so. So Nebuchadnezzar orders them all to be killed. Daniel, the prophet, gets wind of the king's order to destroy all these men, and Daniel appeals to the chief assistant to give Daniel a chance to interpret the dream. Daniel then went and prayed about it, and the dream interpretation was revealed to Daniel. Coincidence? Friends, the truth is, I don't know what is coincidence in life and what is not. What is by chance and what is by design. But what I've experienced over and over in my life, and I trust you have too, are moments that cannot be explained and a presence that's beyond our understanding. You see, I claim before you that seeing that beach baptism was a God moment. Ronyell claims the same for a desperately needed check. And the prophet David claimed it in telling the king what his dream meant. And try as you might, no one could convince me, Ronyell, or the prophet Daniel that these were not God moments. Yet, all of these could be sheer coincidence. Claiming these occasions as God moments does create deep questions of faith. For let's be honest, if falling on one's knees praying always results in a check being delivered just in time, we would see a lot of worn knees. If praying hard enough guaranteed a clear cancer scan or a reconciled relationship, well, knees would really be worn out. So, coincidence or God moments? Yes. Both. I would invite us to consider that what creates God moments is when we feel in our core that something greater than us, something bigger than us, something stronger than us, something more capable than us is somehow, some way walking this journey called life with us. For when we experience, I mean really experience God moments, it's the presence, perceived or real, it is the presence of the Holy that makes it so. And that presence is often what gets us through to the next day or hour, to the next doctor appointment, to the next discussion towards reconciliation, to the next day of fighting addiction, to the next stage of deep grief. God moments, unexplained presence. They may be coincidence. They may not. But whatever they are, when we get them, I say let's claim them. And let's hold tightly to them. And let's give thanks that every now and again, coincidence or not, something happens in our life that calls our attention to a divine mystery that at a given moment becomes an intimate reminder that God is still speaking, that God is still being, that God is still loving. Thanks be to God.